out of y'all. God created the universe.
Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Israel. Let me say hello to my beautiful brothers and sisters who's tuning in by the way of the internet. Let me say shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters that's tuning in by the way of Blog Talk. Truly, I know the only reason that you're tuning in tonight, this evening, is because you're fear towards Elohim. We're going to say a prayer. And we're going to deal with the Passover. So let us praise the Almighty Yah. Almighty Yah, Creator of the Universe, Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, thy servants humbly come before thee on this great and glorious and honorable day that thou hast adorned before. Thank you, Almighty Yah, for the goodness and loving kindness and the tender mercies that you have even blessed us with, even during the beginning of this season. Truly, Almighty Yah, we bless thee. Holy days, Almighty Yah, that thou has even allowed us to be, to take in. Truly, we praise thy holy, righteous, and exalted name for thy Sabbath. And truly, this evening, this day, Almighty, 14th day, which is the Passover, Almighty, we praise thy holy, righteous, and exalted name for this season. Almighty Yah, we pray that you will give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that we need, that we might bring glory to thy great and honorable name. And show us thy truth, Yah, that we might bring glory to thy great and honorable name. For we love you, Yah. We thank you, Yah. We honor you, Yah. We praise you, Yah. And we worship you, Yah. From this time forth and forevermore. And hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Righteous Yah is holy. Amen. Give shalom to my elders, teachers here. Shalom, shalom. Have a seat, and we're going to go ahead and get started. And what we're going to talk about this evening is the Passover, the significance of the Passover, the meaning of the Passover. And it might seem strange to some because shalom, shalom. It might seem strange to some because the Passover, typically amongst the Israelite community, the Passover, according to the Jewish calendar, and according to many and most of the calendars that our people recognize today, occurs during the time of the full moon. And so, for Israelites who go by not just the moon and go by the light, for this is what the Creator let us know in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, if we turn there. Yes. Genesis, the first chapter. And we're going to read the 14th verse.
Then Elohim said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven, of the heavens, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years."
So the Creator emphatically said, "Let these lights be for signs. Let these lights be for seasons. Let these lights be for days, and let these lights be for years." And we know these lights are plural. It's not just one particular light. Now, if the Creator wanted to tell us and wanted to say, "Let the moon be for signs, seasons, days, and years," he would have said that. But he didn't. and creator admonished anybody who would dare to add to his word as well as take away from his word. And we know he meant the lights, just like he meant the nights lights in the book of Numbers. If you turn to the book of Numbers, the 28th chapter. And we're going to start at the first, we're going to read the first and second verse and watch what this is. Or let's read verses 1-3.
Now Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, saying, command the children of Israel and say unto them, my offering, my food, for my offerings made by fire is a sweet savor unto me. You shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time.
In other words, you're supposed to do this at their appointed time, because there's a set time that Yah desires that everyone do everything, including his holy days, but also set offerings, his sacrifices. You do that at the due season. And then not the book of Genesis where we just read. It says, let these lights be for signs and what? And the word season means set time. The word season means appointed time. Well, if you use the moon to determine your appointed times, then we will have to use the moon to determine when Yah sacrifices are. Because watch what this says again in the second verse.
Command the children of Israel, say unto them, my offering, my food for my offerings made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time.
At their appointed time. And all our appointed times, you go by the lights. You go by the lights. But if you were to go by the moon, well, how would the moon tell you when to make a sacrifice to Yah? And in truth, it does not. And we're going to see this in time to come. So I just wanted you to see just a couple of scriptures why it is necessary to go by the lights. But the lights does tell you when to make an offering made by fire unto Yah. Watch the very next verse.
And you shall say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer to Yahweh, two male lambs in their first year, without blemish, day by day, as a regular burnt offering.
Go ahead.
One lamb you shall offer in the morning.
Because the morning is one of the what? It's one of the lights of Yah. And so now we know when to make one of Yah offerings, one of his sacrifices. The moon don't tell you when the morning is. That's why the Almighty said, let these lights be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. Because the lights teach you everything you need to know about Yah's appointed times. And one offering you're supposed to do in the morning,
the other lamb you shall offer in the evening,
which is another light of Yah. The morning is when the day breaks. And it's a peculiar light that you should never get confused with any light. And then the evening is another light which comes in the evening, which means twilight, or to be mixed, or to be mingled, or to be intertwined. Come from the Hebrew word etrev. Morning comes from the Hebrew word boker. And these are two different lights altogether. And you should never get these lights confused. Did not Yah said, let these lights be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for what? For years. And if you follow Yah's lights, you will know his signs, seasons, days, and years. But we're not going to get into a lot of that today. But rest assured, We will be dealing with Yah's signs, seasons, days, and years. We will be dealing with this in its entirety. But we're here to deal with the Passover. Now, the Passover is very important because it is one of Yah's days. It is one of Yah's seasons. A season just means an appointed time. Season does not mean the same as what the heathens would teach you. They would tell you the season just means the spring, summer, fall, and winter. And that's the only type of season we think exists. No, but the word season means a set time, an appointed time. And Passover is a set time. It is an appointed time. If you make it dinner, so shalom, everyone, shalom, on this great and glorious day. If you make a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment or any type of appointment, period, there's a set time that you're supposed to be there. And then they're expecting you at that time. And then now you got certain places right now that when you make an appointment, they will charge you if you don't show up because they got staff there. They done scheduled it. They done set aside so nobody else won't get this appointment but you. And they did all this for setting up an appointment for you, and you don't even show up for the appointment. And Yah sets an appointment also. And if you don't come to Yah's appointment, look what Yah says for those who don't respect his appointment. One particular place is in the book of Numbers, the 9th chapter, since we're in the book of Numbers. And we're dealing with the Passover. And we're going, and the Passover, we're not just going to read the story of the Passover, even though we might have a lot of people that may be celebrating the Passover for the very first time. We may have a lot of people who had never even heard about the Passover. And we may have a lot of people that they're very new to the Passover, so they're trying to get the fullness, full details of the Passover. So what we're going to recommend to everyone is that you read in fullness the scriptures that we're going to give. Because if you read these particular chapters and fullness, you're going to get a real good dose of what the Passover is all about. Now, what you will get this evening, you're going to know what the Passover means. And you're going to know what the Passover not only means, but you're going to know how the Passover affects and impacts your life, not just once a year, but how the Passover impacts your life every single day. But in Numbers, the 9th chapter, speaking of the Passover, and this is what it says. And we're going to start reading at the very first verse.
Now Yahweh spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, the first month of the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying.
Now, I want you to take note. Just put it in your mental subconscious. Or is it more proper to say mental consciousness rather than subconscious? Because you notice when we read about the Passover, you're going to read, and when we read the scriptures, because every word of Elohim is pure. And he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And what you're going to read a lot of dates that oftentimes when people read the scriptures, they skip right over these dates because these dates to them are not relevant. So They don't know what these dates mean. They don't know if these dates are significant in their life today, or if these dates just say something to do with the ancient days, or if these dates are just some commentary that somebody just put in here. They just don't know. So what they do, they just skip over it. Well, I didn't skip over these dates. These dates are real. These dates are part of Yah's cycle. In other words, they concurrent. These dates come all the time. These are real dates. Just like we're reading about real people. Just like we're reading about real life matters. And watch these real dates. Start again. We're in Numbers, the 9th chapter, starting at the first verse.
Now Yahweh spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time.
In other words, you got an appointment to meet Yah, and it's giving you the backdrop when this has happened. In the first month, in the second year after they will come out of the land of Egypt, let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. Go ahead.
On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time.
And see, Yah is very specific. He didn't just want you to keep it on the 14th day. He wants you to keep it on the 14th day at what? At evening. It's a specific time. All the holy days have a specific time. Every last single one of them. And we're going to deal with that one day. But go ahead.
Keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. So Moshe told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did. Now there were certain men who were defiled by a human corpse, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moshe and Aharon that day. Those men said unto him, we became defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of Yahweh at its appointed time among the children of Israel?
Because the Passover was a sacrifice. And so to make a sacrifice to Yah, you had to be clean. You could not be defiled. And they were charged to make this sacrifice, but they were unclean by reason of a dead body. Now, when did they actually receive that law? That we're reading this in the book of Numbers. We're reading this in the book of Numbers at a time where it says it's the second year after they came out of Egypt. So when did they know, and when were they taught that the dead body of a man defiles you to the extent that you can't make offerings unto Yah? See, these are the questions you have to ask yourself, because oftentimes a lot of people will tell you our people didn't know the law when they was in certain places. The only time they kept the law and only time you have to do the law is when you're in Jerusalem. But here, they just the second year out of the wilderness, and they already talking about, look, why are we kept back from making a sacrifice unto Yah? Being that we're unclean, we're defiled by the dead body of a man. And you understand this once we start reading the law, because they knew this coming out of Egypt. But watch this.
And Moses said unto them, stand still, that I may hear what Yahweh will command concerning you. Then Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a dead body, or is far away on a journey, you may still keep Yahweh's Passover. On the 14th day of the second month, at even, they may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones, according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it.
So he said, and the Almighty, through his great mercies, he said they still keep it, but they keep it the second month, because by the second month, you're going to be clean. So you keep it at the second month, the 14th day at what? At evening. And this is real significant, because there's hope that exists where the Almighty will give you an opportunity to keep that holy day as a result of you being unclean. He didn't give you no second chance. And that's real significant. And the Passover is not a Sabbath, but it is a holy day. And why would the Almighty make concessions for this particular day? Well, the reason why is because this is the only holy day where the people themselves made the sacrifice. Every man in his house had to make this sacrifice. And you can't make sacrifices unless you be what? You got to be clean. And we're gonna read that. But what if you're not clean the first month, and then you're still not clean the second month? Watch what the Creator says about that. Because these are appointed times. Go ahead.
But the man who is on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people, because he did not bring the offering of Yahweh at his appointed time. That man shall bear his sin.
He shall bear his sin. Go ahead.
And if a stranger dwells among you and would keep Yahweh's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance for both the stranger and the homeborn of the land. Now on the day...
So in other words, you only got one law. So we never had to fight and argue, well, this is how the stranger is supposed to keep it, and this is how Israel is supposed to keep it. This is when the stranger is supposed to keep it, and this is when Israel is supposed to keep it. You only have one manner of law for the homeborn and for the stranger. So this is when you keep the Passover. You keep the Passover on the 14th day at evening, and you keep it in the first month of the year. But if you are unclean or in a journey afar off, then you can keep it the second month according to all the rites, according to all the ceremonies thereof. Now, the question is, if you keep the Passover on the 14th day at evening in the first month, before we get into where you keep the Passover and how you keep the Passover, you first got to understand what the Passover means. What do it mean? What do it represent? This is real important, because once you understand what it means, then you will understand that the Passover is not a day that you just keep once a year. It's really a day that you keep every single day. And watch what the Passover represents. But let's talk about what it means in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. Exodus, the 12th chapter. In the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 26th verse.
And it shall be when your children, what do you mean by this service? That ye shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of Yahweh, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped.
In other words, at some point in time, you have to ask, what mean ye by this service that we're doing in the Passover week? Putting blood on the doorposts. We dressed up, shoes on our feet, staff in our hands. We are eating unleavened bread and bitter herbs. We are roasting a lamb whole from evening, killing it in the evening. We have to get rid of it by the morning. What means ye by all the service that we're doing with the Passover? And the Creator lets us know, is the sacrifice of Yah's Passover, who passed over the houses, over the children of Israel, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped, because they realized that what the Creator was doing, the significance of the Passover, is when the Creator delivered our houses. He literally delivered our houses, smote the Egyptians in their house, and the children of Israel, as a memorial, kept this every year. Because of what Yah did in Egypt. And what did he do? He delivered our houses. Now, why is that important? Let me show you why this is so important to Israel. This way in the book of Exodus 12 chapter. Start reading at the second verse.
This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you.
So this is the beginning of our month, and this is the first month of the year to Israel, not to the world, not to everybody, but to Israel. And look what this says. Look what they are to do at this time. Third verse.
Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.
A lamb for a household.
And if the household...
And stop for a second, because I want everybody to understand these instructions, because now we're getting into the law. These are instructions that have to you have to comply with in keeping the Passover. And one of the first instructions is that we're to take a lamb from our flock out of our fold on the 10th day of this month, which is the first month of the year. Now, how do you know when the 10th day is? How do you know when the first day is? Well, let's for a second assume that this was the beginning of the year, which it is. We don't have to do a lot of assumptions there. But let's assume that this was the very same time that the Creator created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. And when he says, let these lights be for signs, season, days, and years. Now, when he said, let these lights be for signs, season, days, and years, what day was that on? It was on the fourth day. Am I correct? And on that fourth day, 3 days later was the what? It was the Sabbath day. So we know the Sabbath day was on the third day of that month, because it was 3 days after the moon, the sun, the stars, and everything, they were made. Am I correct? Now, does it take a rocket scientist to understand that the Sabbath day came, well, the lights was made on the fourth day, and then the Sabbath day came 3 days later, which was the seventh day, which automatically means that the first month on the Sabbath day had to be the first month, what? What day, Isha? Yes. The third day of the month. 3 days after the moon, the sun, and the stars was made. 7 days later from that third day of the month, if that third day of the month indeed was the Sabbath day, since the Sabbath day came 3 days later, 7 days later was what? The 10th day of the month. And that was also a what? A Sabbath day. Now watch what this says again in the third verse.
Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.
Now, why would the Almighty, is this indeed the Sabbath day? Because the 10th day was 7 days later after the third, and that came 3 days after the first moon, sun, and stars. Why would the Almighty tell the children of Israel on a Sabbath to go get a lamb and separate it from all the flock? Say that again. Yeah, in other words, it was going to be a sacrifice. But watch how peculiar this is. Do y'all know what the 10th represents in the scriptures? That it does represent separation, but it represents something even more specific. The Almighty said the 10th is what? Holy. And because it's holy, you had to separate the what? You had to separate that 10th from everything else, because the 10th belonged to who? And who did this lamb belong to? And what day of the month did he tell you to separate? And the 10th is what? What day do you think you keep the Day of Atonement on? The 10th day. And then not only that, not only is the 10th supposed to be separated from Yah, and that's why he said the 10th belonged to who? To him. But not only the 10th belonged to him, and you took this lamb out on the 10th day of this month, what day did you take it out on? The Sabbath day. And who, what day belonged to the Most High? And it's, the Sabbath day is called what? It's called holy. The 10th is holy. So you already know what this lamb is going to be. Is what? Because this was given to who? Because it belonged unto who? To Yah. So I know Yah thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways, but if we really pay close attention, we'll see this really actually makes sense. Because Yah is perfect. But watch this. Continue reading the fourth verse.
And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight.
You shall kill it in the evening. And so the 14th day, if that 10th was the Sabbath day, the 14th day will be what? The fourth day of the week. That is correct. Because that's 4 days later. And 4 days later is the fourth day. Now, why did the Almighty want to kill the Passover on the fourth day? And not only he killed the Passover on the fourth day, do you know in the scriptures, this is the very first sacrifice that the children of Israel made unto Yah in the year? The Passover. Of course, as you all know, they were in Egypt. And they were told to take a lamb out on the 10th day. And while they was in Egypt, the very first sacrifice made to Yah was the Passover. Was the Passover. And it was done on what day again? The fourth day. Why the fourth day? What do the fourth day represent? Yeah, it represents Yah praises. That's the day he made the light. And he said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be what? And this was a day to praise, because this is the day Yah delivered our what? Our houses. He delivered our houses this day. But what did he deliver our houses from? Well, we can really see what he delivered our houses from. And watch this. Continue reading. The seventh verse.
And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of each house of the houses where they eat it.
In other words, now once they killed it, they didn't waste everything. They even took some of the blood and put it on the doorposts. And then they put it on the top of the post of the houses with hyssop. And, well, what's the significance of that? Now, what, again, I need to know that everybody understand this. What did Yah deliver on this day? See, I told you, everybody not paying attention. What did he deliver our houses on this day? I don't care if you were the fifth born, the seventh born, the ninth born, the tenth born. If you was in that house, you got what? You got delivered. And that's it. You got delivered. But you're going to see the significance of Yah delivering our houses. And what were we delivered from? Watch this. Exodus 12. And we're going to jump down to the 21st chapter, 21st verse. Because what are we dealing with? We're dealing with the Passover. The word Passover in of itself means something passed over us. But what did it pass over us to do? Well, we're going to see. Go ahead.
Of Israel and said unto them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb.
In other words, he gave the instructions first. Now he's saying, look, let's go ahead and do this thing right now. Go ahead and take your lamb and kill this Passover. Go ahead.
And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out the door of his house until morning.
In other words, they are not to go out of their house until the what? Ain't that a law? Ain't that instructions? A lot of our Israel, and most of our people in the Israelite community, because many of them learn from the Jewish people, they believe that our people went out this same night. They left Egypt this same night. And this is not so. How could you leave Egypt this night when this is the night of Passover? You don't even know when you're going to be passed over. This is the night that you in the house doing what? Eating lamb or goat. This is the night you preparing to leave. But you know you can't leave this night, because this is Passover. And they had specific instructions, another appointment, another point of time to leave. Don't go out of your house until what? What if they just went out just to peep? Man, I just need to see what's going on. That's right. So this is nothing you wanted to be nosy trying to do. You know, our people real nosy. And they and see the foolish, the wicked, soon as they hear the noise, they, man, let me go see what's going on. I got to see this. But no, this is the day you don't want to make a move at all. But watch what happened. Continue reading.
For Yahweh will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, Yahweh will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you.
In other words, this is all about delivering your houses. I'm not going to allow this destroyer to come in and strike you because you follow my instructions. And what were the instructions? Stay in the house and do what? And put this blood on the doorpost, because when this destroyer sees this blood, he will know, pass over it. Pass over it. Now watch this. Still in Exodus 12, as we're getting to the heart of this matter. The 29th verse.
And it came to pass at midnight that Yah struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock.
In other words, I don't care what firstborn you were, Yah smited you, because this was a sign. He smited you. Well, watch this.
So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead.
Yeah, you notice it didn't say dead. It could have just said, Yah smote him, and there was not a dead person not found. He could have said, it's not a dead person in the street. But you notice he said there was not one dead person in what? In every house. Because Yah wanted the people to know He was delivering our houses. And the only reason our houses was delivered is because what? We had the blood on the doorpost. And we would not come out until the morning. And we were following his specific instructions. How our houses would be delivered. But in the Egyptian's house, there was not one. I mean, in every house, they found someone dead. In every house. And watch this. Still in Exodus 12. And we're reading the 46th verse. But before we read the 46th verse, start at the... we're going to go right to it for time purposes. 46th verse.
In one house it shall be eaten.
In other words, when you eat the Passover, this is all the... what we're reading to you is not the whole story of Passover, right? But we are reading instructions that are critical to your salvation. What was critical to your salvation? You got to take a lamb out of your flock on what day? On the 10th day, every man of his house. And then it says, if the house be too small, let your neighbor go to the other house, and y'all join, and y'all count the souls for each lamb that you might have, because there's only one lamb per what? Per house. Because this is all about the house. And then, once you take this lamb out of the flock on the 10th day, you keep it up until the 14th day at evening, and you kill it in the evening. And once you kill it in the evening, you take the blood of that lamb, put it in a basin, and take your hyssop, dip it in the blood, and then you put this on the doorpost as well as the lintel of the house. And don't let nobody go out of this house until when? Because these are critical salvation instructions when it comes to saving your life. See, now it also tells you, well, you got to have your staff in your hand. You got to have your shoes on your feet. Your loins girded up. Now, what if you just didn't happen to have your shoes on your feet? Well, you going to die? No, you wasn't going to die for that. What if you didn't have a staff at the time in your hand? Well, you going to be slighted and killed for that? No, you wasn't going to be killed for that. But what if you didn't take the blood and put it on the doorpost? What if you didn't take that lamb out on the tent? See, these were critical instructions. Now watch this, the 46th verse.
In one house it shall be eaten.
In one house shall it be eaten. In other words, most of the Israelite community that I know of, none of them who keep the Passover, nor in the Jewish community, nor in any community that I've ever heard of, they don't keep the Passover like this. It says, in one house shall it be what?
Eaten.
They eat it in the sanctuary. They outside barbecuing, going from house to house. It's like a barbecue pit with a lamb on it, and they just sitting around the fire like it's a bonfire. How are your children going to learn anything from that? No, you got to be in the house keeping the Passover. In one house shall it be eaten. In other words, once you're in that house, there is no house to go to after that. One house shall it be eaten. Go ahead.
You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house.
You can't even carry the flesh outside the house.
Or shall you break one of its bones.
You can't even break a bone. You know how we are people like eating stuff to the bone. And they just breaking every piece of it. No, you just carve the meat off the lamb. You don't even break a bone of this lamb. Go ahead.
All the congregation of Israel shall keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as a native of the land. And no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you.
And so why did Yah just force one manner of law? So again, we don't have to debate. We don't have to have strife. We don't have to fight whether who can keep the Passover, because there's only one manner of law anyway for the homeborn and the what? And the stranger. But why was Yah emphasizing so much about the house on Passover? Because that's what Passover represents. It represents Yah delivering our houses. But what did Yah deliver our house from? That's the most important thing that a lot of times people forget. When you ask the question, well, what did Yah deliver our house from? They would say the death angel. No, Yah is the one who sent the death angel. That's not what he was delivering our houses from. He sent the death angel. What was Yah delivering our house from? You're absolutely correct. Bondage. Bondage. Bitter bondage. Before you can be delivered physically, you had to be delivered in your own house. And a lot of people forget the significance. Y'all ever heard the old adage, home sweet home? I don't care what's going on outside the house, but if you in bondage in your house and y'all wanted our houses delivered. And let me show y'all what I'm telling y'all is the truth. Watch this. Look in the book of, before I show you all this, we got a teacher here, we got elders here, and I know y'all very wise. Many of y'all been in the laws of the Most High for a long time. We have people listening by internet, blog talk, and I'm asking them the same questions that I'm asking you right now. And this is the question. Why did Yah command us to keep the Sabbath day? Yes, ma'am. It's a sign between us and them, repeating it, because they may can't hear you, but I'm going to repeat it. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. That's good. In other words, the elder was letting us know that Yah commanded us to keep the Sabbath because he's married to us. And we got to, what he does, do we do. He rested, so we rested. And this is why he commanded us to keep the Sabbath. We're going to see if you're correct. Sound good to me, but we're going to see. Isha?
He told us to keep the Sabbath day, so we know that it is Yahweh that does sanctify us.
He told us to keep the Sabbath day so that we would know it is Yah that sanctify us.
Goodness, that's some strong medicine right there.
My wife cheating. She just texted me the scripture. She already know the answer, but... Why did Yah command us? Do you realize there's only one scripture I've ever read in the whole entire Old Testament where Yah commanded us, why he commanded us to keep the Sabbath? And you're about to read it right now. Oh, we got another answer. Yes, sir. My goodness. Woo! For the listening audience out in the world, Bo said, a.k.a. Lemuel Ben Yisrael said, because the Sabbath day is holy. Now, who can argue with that? And even though all your answers were good, it's another reason why Yah commanded us to keep the Sabbath. And then you're going to understand. Then he said he know. And I'm going to give him another chance. Yes, sir. And that's what the Elder Yael said. It is a sign. It is a sign. And I mean, everything y'all saying, it's kind of hard to go against. All right, I'm going to give you another chance, Isha. Just give me, if you know, just give me the chapter.
Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter.
Well, he's absolutely correct. Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. And y'all turn there. This is the only reason why y'all commanded us to keep the Sabbath. And then you're going to understand what this Passover is all about. And not just the Passover. Because watch what this says in Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. And we're going to read the 15th verse.
Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And Yahweh your Elohim brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yahweh your Elohim commanded you to keep the Shabbat day.
In other words, he commanded you to keep the Sabbath day because he wanted you to remember that thou was a what? In Egypt. And that he brought you out by a mighty and stressed out arm. Because what do the Sabbath represent? It does. But do you know what it represents for real? It represents freedom. You don't even have to work. It represents your freedom. And not only it represents freedom for you, it represents freedom for the beast. It represents freedom for the maidservant, the manservant. And everybody that's connected with your what? Your house. Because it represents freedom. Because Yah, he has an issue. He has a problem with bondage. He don't like nobody in bondage. He hates bondage. He has this thing about bondage that he do not enjoy. And this is why he delivered your what? Your houses, because he no longer wanted you in bondage, in your own house, where you're supposed to be able to what? Be free. Rest. Without no stress. Without all these burdens. Without all this oppression. Without all this abuse. So he delivered your what? Your house. And look, not only that, he not only commanded you to keep the Sabbath, for you to remember that you was a slave. Every time the Sabbath day come, that's your time to say, man, I'm no slave. I'm not a slave. I'm free. I'm free. But also, watch this. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Because what is the Passover? The Passover is exactly what it says. He passed over your houses and delivered them. Now you're free, Israel. You're free. Now you don't have to worry about nobody commanding you anything, because that's your what? That's your house. That's your house. And watch this. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Turn there. And if you want to remain free, watch what the Creator says in the 4th verse. Start at the 3rd verse, though.
Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as Yahweh Elohim of your fathers have promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey.
Because he gave you this free land flowing with milk and honey. And he said, please observe this carefully so that it may be well with thee and that you may increase mightily. And watch what he's telling you to observe real careful so it can go very well with you. Go ahead.
Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up.
In other words, these are instructions you're supposed to do where? In your house. No wonder Yah said, if we do these things, it's going to go well with us. Watch us, what you do in your house. Think of that blood on the doorpost. Watch what it says.
You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
In other words, now you're writing the laws on the doorpost of your house. You got the laws written on your house. In your house, when you rise it up, when you lie down, when you walk about the way, you're always talking about the Creator ways and His laws, His commandments, His statutes, His judgment. And why? So that it might go well with thee. Because now, since He delivered your houses on the 14th day at evening, now He's showing you how your houses can be delivered every single day. Continue reading.
So it shall be when Yah, your Elohim, brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things, which you do not fill, hewn out of wells, which you do not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you do not plant, and you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget Yah, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage.
See, he brought you out of the house of bondage, and he brought you into a house of what? Freedom. He delivered you. Now you're supposed to live free. And it has to start in your house. That's where the freedom begins. And he gave you the instructions to follow while you're in your house to help you do well while you're there. And look what it continued to say. We're going to jump down a little bit. And we're going to go right to the 20th verse, because this is what happened. This has happened, and this is happening. Watch this, 20th verse.
When your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what is the meaning of these testimonies, these statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh our Elohim has commanded you?
Why I got to do this? Why we keep the Sabbath? Why we got to eat this? Why we got to eat that? Why we got to stay here? Why is Ema unclean? Why are you unclean? Why? And they just want to know everything. But if you teach them, they will ask. See, our people don't teach their kids, so they don't, kids don't ask nothing. But can I watch TV? Can I play with this? Can I run here, do this? They ain't talking about the commandments. But if you teaching them, they going to be talking about it. And watch what the answer is, 21st verse.
Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Yahweh showed us signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he may bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And Yahweh commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our Elohim, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before Yahweh our Elohim as he has commanded us.
So our freedom is the commandments of Yah, is his statutes, is his judgment, is his testimonies in which he gave us to live by. This is our freedom. This is our deliverance. As the Almighty delivered our houses, and our houses would not have been delivered if we did not follow those instructions. Those instructions was critical to the deliverance of our houses. And Yah said appointments that we might be delivered in our own houses. Now, this is different than what we will be discussing tomorrow. Because, and yes, we'll be meeting here tomorrow evening at 6 again, because there's some that our people don't know. They don't realize that Yah not only delivered our houses, but he also delivered us out of the land of Egypt. And when he delivered our houses, that was on the 14th day at evening, and it's called the Passover. But when he delivered us out of the land of Egypt, that was on the 15th day at night. And that was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it was two different nights, two different evenings, and they mean two different things all together. And the Creator wanted us to observe both. But right now we're talking about the Passover. Showed you something else about the Passover in the book of Deuteronomy 16. Turn there. And look what it says in the book of Deuteronomy 16, verse 12.
And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. You shall be careful to observe these statutes.
In other words, no matter where we read, it'll let you know, remember that you was a slave in Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe these what? These statutes. these laws, these commandments. Everywhere we turn, it's going to tell you the same thing. Every time you do the law, you should be, my goodness, man, look how free we are, because I remember we were a what? A slave. This is why we have to, we got to go through a physical and mental transformation. Do you realize we raise our children as slaves? You know, when our children, they at an age where they learning, right? And I know the teachers can respect this. The children learning, right? They coming up learning. And as they learning, if they get something wrong, if you in the house where it's supposed to be home sweet home, and they coming up and where it's supposed to be free, they coming up learning, and as soon as they make a mistake, what happens? They just learning. They children. That's what you do to a slave. When a slave make a mistake, you beat their tail. You don't do that to a little kid, a little child, because they what? They learning. Now, it does come a certain point in time where you have to do that, because now you're at a stage that you what? You know. But every kid, you can be a little baby, just not even walking, not even talking, and you just crawling. And stop, don't do that. Just beating it. And you don't even know where you got that from. You don't even know why you're doing it. Because you inherited this from people that support and love bondage. Slavery. And the Almighty, this is why everything he did, he wanted you to remember that you was a what? Because so he don't want you to ever forget what is the slave mentality. What is the slave life? What is the slave? In other words, you could make no mistake at all because you knew that mistake can take your life. Let anybody in the house make a mistake and see what happened. Who took my piece of chicken? Who? It don't care what the mistake is. It's going to be severe consequences for this mistake. And we don't realize this is slavery. Watch this. Go to the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. See, the Almighty delivered you from this. He delivered you. But mentally, we're not delivered. Physically, we're not delivered. And so we beat people in our house. See, the whole, look, you know it's bad. You know, there's a law. We got a law in Israel. That if a slave or a handmaid or a maidservant escapes, not escapes, because they're not held in bondage, but if they run away from my house, do you know what the law say about that maidservant or manservant? What is the law, Isha?
Should have left stay to.
Yeah, in other words, nobody came in and catch this manservant or maidservant and take them back to the master, so he can continue beating their tail, so he can continue misusing. It says if they go, yeah, they can stay. But look, we don't have manservants and maidservants today. We got children, right? And our children run away from what? They run away from home because the stuff is so severe in the home that you was born in the house. You got the blood of the family, but you can't even live there. So you run away. This is not, y'all delivered our houses. Watch what this says in the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. And read the 31st verse.
Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways.
It says, envy thou not the oppressor and choose how many ways? None of his ways. Because y'all know the ways of the oppressor is all about slavery. It's all about slavery. And you got to familiarize yourself with the slave mind. So this is why the Creator said this. Watch this. In the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. And we're going to take questions, and then we're going to be out of here. But I want our people to understand, what is Passover? Well, it's exactly that. Yah passed over our houses and delivered them. And what did he deliver them from? He delivered them from bondage, from slavery. Watch what this says in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. The very first and second verse.
And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
I brought you out of that. We don't got to read no more, because everything represents us coming out of the house of what? So every time somebody goes to oppress us, we got to let them know, I'm a free. I'm free. I'm not your slave. I'm free. Our children are not our slaves. These are our sons and daughters. Our wives are not our slaves. That's our wife. Your husband is not your slave. That's your husband. Cousins and uncles and nieces, that's your family. That's your kinfolk. They're not your property. They're not your slaves. This is your family. And guess what the word, the Hebrew word for house is? What is the Hebrew word for house, Isha?
Bet.
Bet. And do y'all know what the word bet means? Family. It means family. That's what it means. A lot of places where it says take one lamb per house is actually saying take one lamb per what? Per family. Because that's what a house is. It's a family. It's a family. And all through the scriptures, the Creator, all you got to do is look up the word remember. Every time he told you remember something, he's telling you, remember you was a slave now. So when you go to direct your children, remember you're a slave. When you go to talk to your wife, remember you're a slave now. Remember you was a slave. So in other words, if you remember that, you know how not to treat people. You know how to treat one another. You know how to talk to one another. You know how to help one another. You know how to feed one another. They don't feed no slaves with respect. They need to get the scraps and the scraps. And if you get some, fine. If you don't get none, fine. But that's not how you treat family. Because your houses are delivered. You deliver from that bondage if you keep what? His commandments, his statutes, and his judgment, so that they might go well with thee. And we want these things to go well with us. That's why even in the future, the Creator said we were going to keep Passover. Even when we return home. Because it still represents what? Freedom. It still represents freedom. Go to the book of Ezekiel, and then we take questions, and then we're out of here until tomorrow. And what are we going to deal with tomorrow? We're going to deal with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but another part of our freedom. Ezekiel 45. And for our listening audience, please read all of Exodus 12. Read all the Numbers, the ninth chapter, concerning the Passover. Read Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. You want to read all these things concerning the Passover. And, of course, it talks about the very Passover that the kings, judges kept. But in Ezekiel 45, what verse do I want to show?
21.
The 21st verse. This is after we have returned home.
Ezekiel 45, verse 21. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover, a feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten.
Yeah, we shall observe the Passover. And we are. Because it represents our freedom. Our freedom. And just, it was one more thing I just want to emphasize with the Passover. It was, Deuteronomy 16. This is the last thing. So people can understand why we don't keep the Passover, even though we're talking about the Passover today, because we observe in this great day that the Creator passed over our houses. But make no mistake, if we were keeping the Passover, it wouldn't be like this. Deuteronomy 16, and watch what this says in the 5th verse.
You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, but at the place where Yahweh your Elohim chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season in which you came out of the land of Egypt.
Go ahead.
And you shall roast and eat it in the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose. And in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents.
He said, thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates that he give you, but you do this at the place that he choose to place his name there. I don't understand why that's so difficult. Just do it at the place he choose. He didn't choose Cincinnati. He didn't choose New York. He didn't choose North Carolina. He didn't choose Mississippi. He chose Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And you do it at the season. And what do the word season mean? At its appointed set time. It's not talking about you do it in the summer, or you do it in the winter, or you do it in the spring. You do it at its set appointed time. And you got to know when that is. And that's when and how you keep the Passover. And you have the critical instructions that everyone needs to keep the Passover. And now you know what it means, that your houses are delivered. And who don't want home sweet home? I know I want home sweet home. I refuse to be in bondage in my own house if I can't have freedom nowhere. Please let me have it in my own house. Please. Thank you, Yah. Oh, Yah. Please let me have it in my house. Any questions on the Passover? You said the right words. All he can do is observe it to the best of his ability. And sometimes all you can do is recognize it, you know, just by date. And the best way to observe the Passover, though, the very best way to observe it, is to the best way you observe it is by studying it. Because you can't even keep the Passover unless you know the Passover. And most people don't even know the Passover. And that's the best way to observe it, by studying it. So he get a little book, and he start reading, and he start studying. And it was, that's what it was, one of the reasons why I went to Deuteronomy 16 chapter. In Deuteronomy 16 chapter, this is another thing that I wanted to let you all know. In the Passover, when you sacrifice the Passover, do you have to sacrifice a lamb? Do it have to be a lamb or a goat? Can it be something other than a lamb or a goat? Could, in other words, can it be a bullock? And both of y'all are correct. Some said either goat or lamb, and then some say, yeah, it can be a bullock. And y'all both are right, because the original Passover only can be a goat or a lamb. But then after the original Passover, the memorial, it can be a bullock. And let me show you that in Deuteronomy 16, and then we adjourn. Or we take questions and then adjourn. And this is what it says for the memorial of the Passover, because there was only one Passover, and that was in Egypt. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy 16 and 2.
Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Yahweh the Elohim of the flock and of the herd, in the place which Yahweh shall choose to place his name there.
Yeah, you can go to the flock or the what? Or the memorial. Now, if you go to the flock, you're going to get a what? You're going to get a goat or a sheep. But if you go to the herd, you're going to get what? A bullock or something. Oxen. But you're not going to get no sheep and goat from the herd. But that's the memorial. And now that's all we do now is the memorial, because there was only one path. Any other questions before we adjourn? All right. We had a question. I'm not sure. One of our beloved brothers, Hashum, sent the question in, but I don't understand it. Hashum, it says Shalom, and was it after the Passover? Oh, why did Yah plagued Egypt with 10 plagues? Well, that's a very good question. The 10th plague was what? It was the firstborn. You're absolutely correct. When Yah killed the firstborn of beasts and man. And the reason why it was 10 plagues, because the 10th belonged to Yah. And see, a lot of people don't know, when Yah get to the 10th, now it's time to act for Yah. Enough is enough for Yah. Now I got to make this happen. Just to show you what this means, when do we take all our sins to the Most High? The 10th day of what? So before the year ends, y'all say, look here, enough is enough. now you're going to have to atone for these sins, and I got to do away, because any more sins, I got to what? I just got to destroy you. So let's atone for these sins, and he do that on the 7th month of the 10th day, because the year is going out. So I'm going to do this before this ends, because the 10th is a ceiling. It's a ceiling for the Most High. And that's when he starts separating. For instance, do you know when Noah and his family went into the ark? They went into the ark when? The 17th day of what month? The 2nd month. But watch this. When did the ark rest? That's right. The 17th of what? The 7th month. Now, why did it rest in the 7th month? You're absolutely correct. See, Yah has this thing about him. He does things at his appointed time. What do that have to do with the 10th? Watch this. I told you, Yah has a ceiling. He has a ceiling. How many times did Yah say, you have tempted me these what? These 10 times. So Moses, he said, step aside. So I can do what? I can destroy and make a nation of thee. Because why? Yah, he has a ceiling. And look what he did with the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. He told them, go spy out the land and see this good land. And when they came back, and after spying this good land, and gave a report. Who gave a bad report? Huh? 10 tribes. Only 2 out of the 12 gave a good report. But 10 tribes. And so what did he have to do? Only 2 went into the land. When King Solomon just would not get, he just was into all these strange women. And Almighty said, man, I got to break this kingdom up. And how did he break them up? Did he? Two. That's right. 10 tribes, they had to what? They had to go this way. And the only reason he kept 2 is because of who? King David. Because Yah, he actually literally has a ceiling. And this was his ceiling in Egypt. This was his ceiling in the wilderness. This is what his ceiling was, even with the tribes of Israel. We're broken up in 2 sticks. And 10 of the sticks belong to Yah. Because that's how Yah goes to separate. When he starts separating, then you start seeing a division that only represents how Yah feels. And this is how he feels when he separates. So that 10th, it might be good, but it might be what? But the 10th is what? It's holy. Make no mistake about it, it's still holy. That's why he said, when we give our tithe, he said, don't search whether it's good or what? Bad. Because the 10th belongs to who? I don't need you searching the land. I don't know if this is good enough for Yah. Don't touch my stuff. I determine whether it's good. The 10th belongs unto me. So that's why it was 10. Any other questions? And that's why he took it out. The Passover lamb out on the 10th day. Because that belonged to Yah. Yah is going to get his 10th. Whether it's the 10th day, whether it's the 10th time, whether it's the 10th born, or whether it's the 10th month, he's going to get his 10th. Yes, sir. And then little man. That's right. Absolutely. 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 Yeah, they put them strings on that instrument for a reason. Yeah. Man, the tenth is holy. It's holy. Little Isha. Elohim. Yes, sir. Elder Ariel, she don't have no filter. She just, we're going to die. And she's right, but I'm going to filter it a little bit. This is how you filter. You tell them a lot of words. What's going to happen is the deaf angel is going to see us and pursue us and chase us and maybe smother us and take our breath out of us. And if our breath is gone, we're going to what? Yeah, we're going to die. Do you want to die? No, I don't either. Not right now anyway. Not right now. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, look. Somebody, one of the sisters down in Mississippi called me. I was teaching on how the tenth represents. She said, look, is that why we, the Almighty, have us raise our hand and praise him with both of our hands, and we got 10 fingers up, raised to the Most High? How can I argue that? I mean, praise Yah. This seemed to be holy. This seemed to be separate. Because we don't do this where you can't count, where you can't see, where you don't know, where it look like one. We want to see 10 raised up high and holy and strong. So it made sense to me. Hallelujah. With our palms up. But the Almighty said he called us on the palms of his what? Yeah. Any other questions? Well, there's no other questions. We're going to be here again one more night at 6, and we're going to talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and its significance. So please, you all, start from as long as y'all eat unleavened bread in between this evening and tomorrow evening, then you're good. Because you do that from evening unto evening for 7 days. All right? And you remove all the leaven out of your houses for 7 days. This is how we keep the statutes of the Passover. Yes. Yes. Well, yes. You start eating the unleavened bread tonight, and you remove all the leaven out of your houses. But tomorrow is actually the first day of the feast. Yes. Any other questions? If there are no other questions, let us rise and praise the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. All praise and honor go to the mighty Yah. Let us raise our hands to the high Elohim and bow our heads, thanking you, Almighty Yah, truly for thy continued goodness, thy continued loving kindness and tender mercies that thou hast truly sent unto us. We thank you, Almighty Yah, for bringing us into another season, that we might praise thy holy, righteous, and exalted name. Truly, Almighty Yah, we pray that you will be with us during this season, during this appointed time. Teach us thy ways, Yah. Teach us thy truth. Give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding we need to understand truly thou art our deliverer. Thou art our Savior, because there is none like thee. There is none that can be compared unto thee, for there is none beside thee. Truly, you are our Elohim. You are our lawgiver, and you will save us. Almighty Yah, We thank you, Almighty Yah, for providing for us, for watching over us, keeping us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, for feeding us, for clothing us. We thank you, Almighty Yah, for even protecting us. We thank you, Almighty Yah, for thy goodness, thy strength. We thank you, Almighty Yah, for thy great divine words. And we thank you, Almighty Yah, for thy everlasting mercy. Please, Almighty Yah, forgive us for all the sins, all the transgressions that we have committed against thee. For we love thee with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. We love you, Yah. We thank you, Yah. We honor you, Yah. We praise you, Yah, and we worship you, Yah, from this time forth and forevermore. By saying hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
Praise the mighty
Yah. Yah is righteous, and Yah is holy. Amen. And praise Yah to our beautiful brothers and sisters listening by the way of internet. Yah loves you, and so do we. Hallelujah.